So the text continues. As you can see, the text is there in blue of the actual psalm. You who live like this, you who meditate on the Lord day and night and don't sit and scoff with sinners, says the psalm, you'll be like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in season, its leaves never wither. All that you do will prosper. There we are again. Needs care in a Christian setting. And that statement is very much echoed, which came first, I wouldn't know, by Jeremiah 17, 7-8, almost says the same. I'll read it. Thus says Yahweh, blessed are those who trust in Yahweh, whose trust is Yahweh. They should be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought it is not anxious. It does not cease to bear fruit. Then the psalmist now goes on to talk about the opposite. These are the two alternatives. Not so. The righteous, the just will be, you know, beautiful. But not so the irreligious, not so. They shall be like chaff, sterile. Chaff's got no nourishment in it. Well, might have, I don't know, but I don't think it does. Not so the irreligious, not so. They should be like chaff blown away by the wind. When you throw it up in the air, just and the wheat falls down and that becomes your bread, but the rest just goes off into nothing. It's dust. The irreligious shall not stand at the judgment. Sinners, those who break their covenant with God, will have no place among, and here's our key word, the righteous. Tzaddik, tzaddik, tzedek. Righteous always means, it comes from the gods originally, have an order in the world. And the righteous are those who listen to and follow the order created by the Creator, whatever it is, in our sense, Yahweh. So it always means those who do right. Those who follow the will of God, those who listen for God's will and live accordingly. Here's a text which makes the same or similar distinction, a later text from the book of Sirach, who writes in chapter 10, verse 19, about the two types of behavior. Whose offspring are worthy of honor? Human offspring. Whose offsprings are worthy of honor? Those who fear the Lord. I'm going to come back to that later, that expression. Whose offspring are unworthy of honor? Human offspring. Whose offspring are unworthy of honor? Those who break the commandments. Jeremiah, picking up or perhaps creating the psalm, may have been written, well, the psalm could have been written by Jeremiah, or it could be written after those who read his poetry, or the timing of these things is very difficult. Presumably Jeremiah is a lot older than the psalm. Thus says Yahweh, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from Yahweh. That's the Rashim, the irreligious. They shall be like a shrub in the desert. They shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. That's chapter 17. And in chapter 8, the same Jeremiah writes, when I wanted to gather them, says Yahweh, there are no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. Even the leaves are withered, and what I gave them has passed away from them. Can you see a connection between that and the gospel story of the fig tree that had all leaves and no figs? And Jesus, it says curses, it's a very bad word. Cursing and blessing are the opposite. Jesus is saying, you're not blessed. But the fig tree is not a fig tree, It's a symbol for Israel. It's a symbol for the religious authorities of the day who had rejected Jesus and rejected God's inspiration and were staying with their rigid thing and the temple that had just been emptied. You know, it's quite symbolic. It's nothing to do with a tree, except as a symbol. And that's where the symbol comes from. There are Jesus, God, found, not literally, but no figs on the fig tree. No, it's just all leaves, all show, but no truth, no love, no openness to grace. And so the temple had to be left, and a renewed Israel somehow created. Similarly, that says there, the irreligious shall not stand in the judgment. Here's the book of wisdom. They will come with dread when their sins are reckoned up. Their lawless deeds will convict them to their face. Or Paul to the Thessalonians. These will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Destruction that's beyond time. Separated from the presence of the Lord. They cannot stand at the judgment. Sinners have no place among the righteous. I was hungry, says Jesus. You never gave me anything to eat. Depart from me into everlasting fire. It's just saying that our lives matter, and that what we choose, as a tree leans, so shall it fall. The consequences of our life we can't pretend away, nor can God pretend them away. And the psalm goes on, verse 6, for Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the irreligious leads to destruction. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, similarly, the last part of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, it's not Moses, of course, but the writers have Moses dying and giving his last testament, the author of the Torah, or the prophet. And this is what he says, and it picks up Psalm 1 beautifully. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity. And Yahweh your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And now just a Christian reflection on this psalm. Jesus says, talking about the way, he says, enter through the narrow gate. Of course, all gates are narrow. If I'm going to walk towards the door, I've only got 1 degree to walk in. It's another 359 degrees that I can't walk in, or I'll miss the door. So any way we walk demands choice. But he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many taking it. The gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Pretty demanding statement. But please notice, in John's Gospel, Jesus is the gate. So the gate is narrow, but it's as someone I read once said, it's as wide as the arms of Jesus stretched out on the cross. So to lose, we have to break through the embrace of God. It's not easy, because of God's love, of course. But it still demands choice and direction. We're told in John that Jesus is the way. So he is the Torah. He's the new way to follow. And my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. And here a beautiful text which brings in the idea of the Torah. One of the favorite texts of us all, I'm sure, from Jesus' gospel is, come to me, all you that are weary and are heavy, are carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, my Torah, is easy, and my burden is light. And I'll conclude my commentary on Psalm 1 with we're told in Psalm 1 to look to the Torah, whereas I think the New Testament story is to look to Jesus and be radiant. 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. The revelation of God's glory is not now found in a book. It's found in the face of Jesus. The New Testament doesn't hold it either. The New Testament points us towards the face of Jesus. It's there that we look to watch how to respond to God. And a beautiful example given us in the Gospels of the perfect disciple of Jesus is Mary, Jesus' mother. And look what it says about her here at the Annunciation. She says, here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. She's listening and willing to allow God to love her, and so the child is holy. And when she goes to visit Elizabeth a little later, blessed is she, says Elizabeth, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord, trusting and believing that God's will for her would be done.